Steve Palazzolo from the 33rd team to join us. Steve, if Justin Herbert doesn't play on Sunday, can the Chargers score more than 10 points against the Steelers defense?
Probably not. I don't have a ton of faith in that. I think Easton Stick is still the backup. I know they have Taylor Heinicke on the roster. I think Heinicke would have a better chance to do that. He's got a little bit more of a, I would say, upside compared to Easton Stick. But Chargers have been interesting. I mean, they've played Jim Harbaugh football. They run the ball really well. That would be their best bet with Harbaugh or without is getting some more big plays by J.K. Dobbins, who's looked fantastic for the first couple of weeks. They've been really good up front. I mean, it's like they've immediately morphed into a Jim Harbaugh team. Tough run blocking, you know, stout up front, run first attack, and then defensively, again, it's only 2 weeks, but this is the best defensive front the Chargers have had in years as far as physicality, playing the run. They've been pretty good on the back end. It is interesting how quickly they've morphed into what I think Jim Harbaugh loves about football.
Fill in the blank with a number here. First team to blank wins in Steelers-Chargers.
13 again. We'll say 13.
Steve,
the magic number.
It's got the lowest total of any game this week. It's 35.5, Malzi.
Well, it should be like an Iowa game, really, in college football, where you can't set the total low enough, I feel like. Steve, on to more pressing matters that actually involves kind of these two teams, because I think they're doing one of the few things that's an antidote to this. Do you agree with Mel Kiper that we should ban the too high safety look? Because apparently nobody knows how to beat it. What's going on with that in the NFL? Why have these quarterbacks across the league all struggled so much?
So first of all, I don't know what's happening at ESPN. Like, we all have data and information. Mina Kimes, who's a friend, you know, been on our show before, she posted a number last week that said too high looks are at like 60% or something. And I'm not trying to call her out or anything. I don't see those numbers necessarily. So I don't know if Mel's being fed those numbers that like 60% of plays have too high safeties, but I will say generally you're getting more deeper safeties. You have the NFL trying to avoid defensively giving up explosive plays. You are seeing that. I mean, the antidote is run the ball more effectively and you know, hit your quick passes and create after the catch. So, I mean, there are answers to this thing. It's the other part of it, too, I think, is defenses are getting better at disguising pressures. You saw Sunday Night Football how difficult it was for Caleb Williams and the Bears to just pick up a blitz and protect Caleb Williams. You see that across the league in a few other places. You've got this Ravens, it's kind of like this combination of Fangio schemes that play deeper safeties, don't give up explosives, and Ravens schemes that do a really nice job of creating blitz packages and, you know, disguising it and sending 4 and 5, but still having coverage. I think you're just seeing a blend of all those things around the league, and it's just going to take quarterbacks who are patient, read it out, hit open receivers when they're open, and, you know, create after the catch.
I would tell anybody at ESPN, turn on Steelers Chargers Sunday and see how deep those safeties are. I'm guessing they'll be close
right
to the
behind
line
the linebackers.
Exactly. Steve,
then there's some teams that just can't pass, yes, and they're still getting the box stacked against them.
Yes. After week one, you said pretty much complimentary things of Justin Fields. Want to amend that at all after watching him against Denver on Sunday?
Not really. I think it's about the same. I don't know how much he'll keep this going. I mean, again, if the Steelers had given up 14 points, is everybody completely upset with this offense? Is it just the fact that the defense is playing so well that it's working? I mean, I think Fields had another similar type of game managery type of game.
Do you expect him to play like what kind of improvement do you expect from him week to week? Like, how different do you expect it to look, or is it partly based on who their opponent is?
I mean, at some point, yeah. I mean, at some point, the other team's going to score more points, and you're going to have to, you know, push the ball down the field a little bit more, or at different times, or over the deep middle. Yeah, he's created some big plays, right? They've created some downfield passing opportunities. I think the only other changes are like the weeks where he might get 8 or 10 design runs and some of those become, you know, big plays. Are there games where they'll rely on his legs a little bit more? he's already picked up like 6 first downs with his legs. I mean, that's valuable stuff for the offense. So, yeah, I mean, look, I always thought Fields was accurate at Ohio State. He was working from massive clean pockets, but he could get in there and chuck it. I'm still waiting for just like consistent that 15 to 25 yard level, throwing the ball on time and accurately. If he could, you know, somehow improve that and be more consistent there, I think there's places to improve there that could open up the offense even more.
Steve, Broderick Jones has been benched here. So the Steelers' 14th overall pick from last year now finds himself as a swing tackle on the bench. We talked a lot about Jones going into that draft because he was on the Steelers' radar. What's your reaction to already the Steelers having a little bit of buyer's remorse and putting him on the bench for Dan Moore and Troy Fautanu?
He has a 43.6 PFF grade, if you're just wondering if the Steelers are matching, if their perception is matching the PFF grade. I felt like I was defending the PFF. I mean, I was with PFF last year, but I was defending the lower grades last year. Remember the Steelers' run game?
Yes, I was griping about it last year. Yes,
you were. We were fighting. We were arguing. You know, it was ugly. But I was trying to say, look, sometimes there are some bad blocks in there that don't show up, you know, in the actual production of the play, whether it's a, you know, quick loss in pass protection or a bad run block where the ball is run to the other side, or, you know, Jaylen Warren just juked to the defender or whatever it was. So, yeah, I think Broderick's kind of struggled a little bit last year and into this year. And Dan Moore is interesting because every time I try not to give up on offensive linemen after 3 or 4 years, because in years 3, 4, 5, they do tend to, you know, make some improvements. And maybe, you know, Dan Moore's done that and created some flexibility up front for the Steelers. Now, they haven't faced Myles Garrett yet. That's always trouble. But, you know, maybe there's some improvement there, and it gives Broderick a little bit of time to develop on the bench.
I mean, they got Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack on Sunday, Steve. It's not like they're going up against the Sisters of the Poor there, you know. So
I'm just saying, Garrett tends to beat Dan Moore very, very quickly, and the ball's usually out, so Steelers fans never notice it. But
you know. All right. So let me just one more here on paper. If you take the quarterbacks out of it, because I know Herbert is better than Fields, if you take the quarterbacks out of it, are the Steelers a better team than the Chargers?
They're very similar, if you think about it. I mean, the defenses both have a ton of potential there. I think the Chargers are finally playing up to the talent level that they have defensively. They both probably have questionable receiving cores, with, you know, George Pickens being the best receiver across both teams. I think it's pretty close as far as both teams go. Knowing my audience, though, I'll say the Steelers have the better squad, man for man, of course.
Thank you, Steve. Steve Palazzolo, Check the Mic, the 33rd team. His podcast with Sam Monson, it's very good. I listen all the time. Steve, thank you for joining us.
Yep, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.